So, we are going to get into God's Word, and I want to read. It's a long passage. Not long, but it's a beautiful passage because of what it speaks of. But we're going to be talking about Jesus, obviously. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 52. We're going to read from verse 13 of chapter 52 through the end of chapter 53. Now, this section of Scripture is so powerful that many Jewish rabbis would not allow their people to read it. They don't even cover it. Reason being is because you read this section, you can come to only one conclusion. That this is speaking of the Messiah and that Jesus is that Messiah. So let's go ahead and read, beginning at verse 13 of chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred beyond more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For they had not been told, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the ground, out of dry ground, and he has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now again, when you read that passage, if you're honest and open with yourself, you can only come to one conclusion. That's speaking about Jesus. There's only one who carried that out, okay? That's why they don't deal with it. That's why they don't even read it, because they have to explain it. And when they explain it, their reasoning is way off, okay? So that's the basis, that passage is the basis of what I want to speak about today. Have you ever come to a place where something you already know is suddenly more vivid and you understand it greater? you already knew the information, okay? But there's something about what you just thought about or just understood that makes it just so much more. I recently came to such an epiphany. And I was pouring out my heart one day to the Lord. And suddenly I realized something that I already knew, but because of the weight of what hit me, it just struck me so much more. And that sudden realization was, He knows. That's what hit me so hard. As we read through chapter 52 and 53 of Isaiah, where we draw our text from, this passage is speaking of the suffering Savior. The Holy Spirit, through the prophet Isaiah, speaks about one who was to come and bear the sins of many. But it goes a lot deeper than that. It tells us how He would also come to know and be associated with every aspect of what this passage talks about. Now, God didn't take me up on a high mountain, show me these golden plates, and give me a decoder ring to decode it that only I could understand. Okay? That's not what happened. But He gave me a deeper, more powerful understanding of the application of the truth that Jesus knows about what I was asking Him about. What I'm doing today is not going to say, well, don't pray, because Jesus already knows. All right? That's not what I'm saying. It's just the opposite, actually. Okay? We are to be comforted by the knowledge He knows. And that, to me, was so amazing. It's not that Jesus just looked at sin. Being God, He's omnipresent, right? He's omniscient. It's not that He just looked at your sin and acknowledged that it happened. Jesus experienced the consequence of that sin. Sorry, I need to put my glasses on. I should have known that. Jesus, in bearing the sins of mankind, endured what the consequences are for every sin of every man who has ever lived and woman. Now, in the beginning, sin was not part of the creation. Okay, that's not what God created. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. When Adam disobeyed God, sin entered into the world, okay, and began a destructive infection upon mankind. Because of what Adam did, sin's effect reverberates throughout all of creation. And every man who was born following that was born into sin. Now, what is sin? Now, let us understand. To understand where I'm going with this, we got to understand what sin is. Okay? Those of us who are Christians, we all come to the understanding that we're sinners. You have to. In order to become a believer, you have to understand I am a sinner. So we come to the understanding that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. Okay? But what I think sometimes we get to using words. We know the meaning. We understand what it means, but it becomes so commonplace that we forget what it really does mean. We don't have that application. So simply by definition, sin means to miss the mark. It's actually an archery term where when someone would shoot an arrow at a target, and if they missed the bullseye, they sin. Right? You missed. I would miss a lot. Trust me. I don't know how to shoot. Not an arrow anyway. Okay? What has become to be known in mankind is that we have missed the mark set by God for salvation, to enter into his righteousness. And man, have we missed. Because of what Adam and Eve did, sin has infected all of mankind. And it's been a devastating effect. Think about this for a moment. And I know we don't always think this way. Every sickness, every disease, every hurt, every pain, every bit of anguish and suffering, every harmful thing in the life of mankind is the result of sin. Every bit of it. Each one of us, you understand that each one of us is born dying, right? Every cell in your body dies. It just, when you're younger, your cells replicate fast enough so that you continue to grow and you continue to, you know, get bigger and, you know, and you just, you get, but you get to a point where those cells stop reproducing fast enough. And those of us who are a little bit older and we feel our age, you understand that life hurts after a while. And so we were born dying. And every sickness, everything that's harmful in man's life is a direct result of sin. Now, you might be saying, well, what about when a baby is born and they have cancer? What about that? What did that baby do that warranted them getting cancer? Well, the answer is nothing. It's not a direct sin that caused that cancer. But I guarantee you it's sin that caused that cancer. Adam and Eve's sin caused that cancer. Everything that brings disease and sickness to the human body and the human life is caused by cancer. Now, not everything that we do causes something destructive. Not every disease was caused by something we did. But let me be honest with you. There are diseases that we inflict upon ourselves. Alcoholism, drug addiction, smoking, that kind of stuff. Those are addictions that cause disease, and it's self-inflicted. Now, I understand people get addicted to something and it becomes something that they cannot control. But again, it was self-inflicted. You got yourself there by starting at some point. Okay? And it just progressed and got worse. The list will go on and on about all of the things that we have, that we experience in life, that we cause damage to ourselves. Okay, look, I'm 5'6", I weigh 250 pounds. That's about 100 pounds overweight. I inflicted that on myself, okay? Because I like to eat. Let's be honest, okay? So I don't want to point fingers or anything like that. I'm just trying to make the point that sin is the cause of everything that is bad in our world, everything that is bad. So where am I going with this? Have you ever really thought about the truth that Jesus was made sin for us? What that actually means In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible tells us, "For he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That is not figurative language. That's not a flowery way to say something. It's a hard, honest, brutal truth that sin, the consequences for sin, was endured by Jesus. Every bit of it. For every human being that has ever lived, that is living, ever will live, Jesus endured the consequences for these sins. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that Jesus gets drunk with every alcoholic or that he gets high with every drug addict. That's not what I'm saying. But sin has a consequence. That alcoholism, that drug addiction, that sexual promiscuity, that has a consequence on your body and on your soul, your spirit. That consequence is what Jesus endured. Jesus doesn't endure every filthy, dirty thing that human beings do. He endured the consequences for that. That's what he endured. I'm going to use cancer as a symbolism. When someone gets cancer, their body begins to break down. The cancer starts to eat them up, right? Those cancer cells are starting to reproduce and it starts to just destroy everything around it, okay? And it causes pain. It causes hurt in that individual. And that's just the physical stuff. When someone, I can't even imagine, when someone gets the diagnosis, you have cancer, the gut punch that must be to that individual, I can't even imagine. That's hurt. That's pain. That's suffering. Then the people around them are hurting. Because what can you do? Nothing but sit there and love them and hurt with them as much as you can, right? That pain is terrible. When you think about it, Jesus endured that pain. Not only the pain that the person is experiencing, all of it, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, but all the people around him or her. He experienced their pain as well. Okay? And again, that's something that hit me so hard. It's like, Lord, I mean, how did I not understand that? And that goes for everything. When your child goes astray, that hurts. I know that experience. I know that. Many of us do. And Jesus felt that pain. Not only your pain, but the pain that those children are inflicting upon themselves. He felt that. To me, that's mind-boggling. That every aspect of the consequences of sin, Jesus endured that consequence. And that, when we go through things like that, and I know, it, Anybody who has gone through a rough time in life, I know you understand the hurt that you feel, right? And for us, it's like, oh, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to endure this? And you're sitting there and you're wondering, what am I going to do? Now think about that times the billions of people that have ever lived. And having to and him having experiencing all of it. I get to the point sometimes where I don't know what I'm going to do next. And my heart is just so heavy and weighed down. And that's when Jesus reached down to me and said, I know. I know what you're feeling. I know you're hurt. And I want to go through, I'm going to back up to Isaiah 53. Just go on to the next one, Nick. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to go through those a little bit. And I'm going to warn y'all, there might be some points in time where I might be tearing up a little bit. I don't know if I can get through it all, but if I do, please be patient with me. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. The first part, it says, surely he has borne our griefs. This passage doesn't say Jesus acknowledged your grief. It doesn't say that Jesus watched you grieve. It says he bore your grief. It's not just a recognition. It's a, what's the word I'm looking for? He suffered alongside of you, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Then it says he carried our sorrows. It's not just that a tacit recognition or acknowledgement that you feel sorry or that you're hurting, that you're having pain. It is a complete taking upon himself of our griefs and our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions. Y'all, I think most of us have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ. When The Passion of the Christ came out, people were, oh, how bloody and how gory it is. When I saw it, I might be a weirdo, but when I saw it, in my mind, that's not enough. These people are thinking how bloody and gory this movie is, and it was, but that's not enough. My Jesus endured so much more than what that, remember what this says. I'm going to read verse 14 of chapter 52. It says, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Jesus was brutalized so badly that you couldn't recognize him as a man. That's how bad it got. And that movie wasn't enough. As bloody as it was. And they took it far. I don't think that they could possibly capture exactly what Jesus went through. But that was for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. Again, not just flowery words, poetic verse to describe someone who loves you. That's real love. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Bible tells us that we can know a peace that nobody understands. And the only way we can do that is through Jesus. The only reason mankind has any peace whatsoever is because of Jesus. Because of what he did for us. He took that upon himself. By his stripes we are healed. Now there's a section of society that takes this little piece of this scripture and says, if I take and wave my jacket over you, you're going to be healed. Or if I go up there and smack you in the head and you fall down, you're going to be healed because of his stripes. Now don't get me wrong, Jesus does heal. People do get healing. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about that spiritual healing that Jesus gives to us through his sacrifice. And trust me, the world is broken. And the only way they can find healing is through Jesus. Now, there is a section of Christianity who would call me a heretic for what I just said. That Jesus paid for every sin of every man, woman, and child who has ever lived, is living, and will live. Because they only believe that Jesus died for those sins, for the ones who will believe in him. It's called limited atonement. That those people who reject him, he didn't die for those sins. That's what they believe. Now for me, I think that is heresy. Because it cheapens what Jesus did. And it goes against God's word. Now, those of you who know me and have listened to me talk in Bible studies, you know I've said this more than once. For me, the Bible only has to say something one time, one verse, for me to say, that's it. I believe it. That's all it takes. But God doesn't leave us like that. And he gives us more. One of the most famous passages in all of Scripture is John 3:16. And I'm going to read 16 and 17. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, I don't know about you, but it's pretty clear that the world through him might be saved. Now, don't get me wrong, not everyone is saved, okay? Not everybody gets saved. Not everybody goes to heaven. I've done quite a few services for funerals, and trust me, everybody thinks their loved one goes to heaven. I'm sorry, that's not true, okay? But this passage says that Jesus came so that the world can be saved. And it would be a lie if only those who believe were paid for. Because then the world couldn't be saved. Not everybody in the world could be saved. It would be a lie. And that's not what my God's word does. God doesn't lie. He said that he sent his Son so that the world could be saved. And if Jesus only died for so many sins, then that means the world, it couldn't all possibly be saved. And that God is lying here. And this is Jesus speaking. So I don't think so. Excuse me. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it reads, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I don't know about you, but in my dictionaries, everyone that I've ever read, all means all. It doesn't mean limited. It doesn't mean that guy over there is not part of our church, so he's not saved. And God didn't die. Jesus didn't die for his sins. He's on the road to destruction. He got no hope. That's not the Bible I believe in. That's not the gospel message I believe in. And for me, the next passage, this passage here is the only one I need. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. How can it be more clear? I don't think it can be. He died for the sins of the world. That means he paid every price, every sin, every wicked thought, every hurt, every pain, every suffering. Jesus did that. He suffered for me. Why bring this up? Why go through all the effort of explaining why Jesus died or that Jesus died? Because when you and I enter into our prayer, we need to bring that glorious truth to bear in our prayers. As we pray, we can know that as I pour out your heart, you have a God that understands completely what you're going through. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus knows what it feels like when you've been married for 25 years and all of a sudden your spouse comes to you and says, I don't love you anymore. And your heart drops out. And your life is like, what am I going to do? Because it caught you so unaware. Jesus understands that hurt. He gets it. When you get that message that you have some dreaded disease, that it more than likely is going to bring you to the end. And that all that pain, all that suffering, he knows. So when you're entering into your prayer, you can confidently come to him. And unlike any pastor, any priest, any psychologist, any whatever, he knows. What's the word? Empathy? Empathy on steroids. Okay, Jesus knows. And when you come to him after you just messed up for the umpteenth thousandth time and your heart is broken, Lord, I'm sorry. Truly, truly sorry. He knows. He knows that brokenness because he felt it. He felt that consequence. That's the consequence for sin. That broken and contrite heart, he knows. He understands. He gets it. And he knows when you come to him and you lay your heart out and say, Lord, please forgive me. It's already done. It's already done. And there can be no other that we can come to that understands us the way he does. Can you give me a beat? Because he not only, again, he not only sees it, recognizes it, calls it what it is, He knows exactly what you're going through because he felt it, every bit of it. And like I said, he has empathy on steroids. Not only that, he's not a passive God. He's not a passive Lord. The Bible tells us in one chapter, one verse before, in 1 John 2, verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Because Jesus knows what you're going through. He's with the Father, and he's advocating on your behalf. He is bringing your petition to the Father. You know, Jesus talks about, "Pray to the Father in my name." Okay? When you pray, you're coming to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Son, who knows full well what you've experienced, who understands your pain, who understands your hurt, is going to the Father and advocating on your behalf because he loves you. Now, the Father loves you too. And he's in all three members of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they know full well what you're going through. And Jesus is the one through whom all of that occurred. Because trust me, what Jesus knows, the Father knows. What the Father and Son knows, the Holy Spirit knows. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you as a believer in Christ. What better advocate to have? When I have somebody standing before the judge of the universe, what better advocate to have than the judge of the universe? He's going to make the decision, right? He's the one that declares you righteous or unrighteous. And yet he's advocating for you. There's no better advocate. If he makes the decision, I want him to be on my side. It's just that simple. And Jesus is constantly interceding for you. Hebrews 7:25 tells us, speaking about Jesus in the capacity of high priest, says, "Therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for you." It's not, Jesus doesn't take a break. "I got to go to lunch. Tony, you're on your own." No, it's not how it works. He is eternal. He is constantly loving you, interceding on your behalf. Look, and I believe this with all my heart. There are things that you and I have not experienced because of God's intercession. I guarantee it. Ever be running late and you come upon an accident and you think, "Man, you're in a hurry, you're running late. And why am I so behind?" And you come upon an accident that just occurred. Were it not for you being on time, you would have been part of it. Okay? There's a lot of things that God intercedes on your behalf that you don't experience. That we don't know nothing about. And he's doing it all the time. All the time. We get ourselves in some situations that could be a lot worse. Trust me, I've been there. Could have been a lot worse were it not for his intercession. And because he is eternal, He is eternally interceding on your behalf, advocating for you. So when you come to your prayer, you can understand just how loved you are. I know sometimes it's hard to understand why God loves us, but he does. I know sometimes I'm like, Lord, just because I know who I am, that to me, that makes you the greatest God of ever. I mean, because I know how bad I am. I know how rotten to the core I am. And if we're not for him and his love for me, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know how, I can't fully express what it means to me to go to my Lord on a constant basis and just empty myself to him, knowing full well he's taking that. He's already taken it. He's already experienced it for me. He's already made it so that I can be free of it. How does the world exist without that? How does the world out there who rejects Jesus, where do they turn? They got your and my burdens, yet they have no place to empty them. They have no place to turn to empty their heart out to. So what do they turn to? They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to love. They turn to all kinds of things. But they have to keep turning. If drugs was the answer, you'd hit that first hit and you'd be good. You have to keep going back to it. If love was the answer, why do we have to keep receiving it? That's not the answer. Now, love is wonderful when you find it. But that's not the answer. The answer is Jesus. And when I come to him and I lay my, and look, in my, the way I think when I'm praying, I'm taking all of my junk and laying it at his feet. Say, here you go, Lord. It's yours. Now, that doesn't mean I don't stress, I don't worry about things, but I just lay it at his feet. And even though I know later on I'm going to have to think about it, because that's just who I am, I know it lets me unburden myself to him. And the world doesn't have that. The world cannot do that. They have no one to do that with. Their lives are empty. And it only gets worse from there, because they have no one to turn to. They have rejected the advocate. They have rejected the intercessor. Think about that for a second. What love. That knowing Adolf Hitler would do all the terrible, horrible, evil things that he did, Jesus took his sins upon himself. When we read about someone who's abusing others, I'm going to be honest. I want to kill him. I'm just being honest. There's a part of me, and well, actually, I don't want to kill him. Part of me wants to make him suffer terribly. Okay? But I need to remember that even though that person just did something evil, Jesus died for that sin as well, just as much as he did for mine. And that to me is so powerful. And when I am able to bring all of those burdens and lay them down at Jesus' feet, I can't explain the feeling. I know you guys understand where I'm coming from. I believe everyone here is a believer. Everyone here has placed their faith in Christ. And everyone here has the same opportunities that I have. The people out there listening to this online, I pray that they have the same experience, same understanding. But the world doesn't have that. One of my favorite books, because of the vivid imagery, is the book A Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. The main character in this book, his name is Christian, and he takes off on a journey to the glorious city. And when he begins his journey, he has this load, this backpack on his back. And as he's journeying, this backpack gets bigger and heavier and more burdensome to carry. And Christian comes to a point along his journey where he comes into contact with the cross and the empty tomb. And when Christian realizes what all that means, the pack just falls off. The burden is no longer there. That's what Jesus does for us. That allows us to, because look, when we come into trial, there was a point in my life I didn't know which way was up. Okay? I was trying my level best to make things work, but it just would not work for nothing. And I did not understand why. If I didn't have Jesus at that time in my life, I don't know what I'd do. Now, I'm not one who thinks about or advocates, you know, going into it all yourself. I'm not going to do that. Never, ever. If you ever read about me committing suicide, y'all better go get an investigation because somebody killed me. I'm telling you right now, that didn't happen. Okay? So, you know, in that book, Pilgrim's Progress, that burden was lifted off of Christian. And as a believer in Christ, we all have that same. We are able to boldly go to the throne of grace. And grace is free. It's there for everyone to get. And I, for one, will never understand why people reject that. Some people would call the believer, the Christian, because I say I give up all my problems and burdens to Christ, that it's a form of escapism. You're trying to escape the consequences. You're trying to elude the consequences. And you know what I say to that person? You're absolutely correct. I am trying to escape it. The key is I have someone that I can escape it from, to fall on. Because even though I have to deal with the damage that I've done to my life, my body today has consequences for decisions I've made in my life. And I'm going to have to deal with that for the rest of my life. Until God calls me home, it's there. And I'm going to have to deal with it. But there's going to come a day when I'm going to have my hair back. And trust me, I had hair. Okay? I'm going to have a healthy body. I'm going to have a body that can do things that I don't even have an idea of yet. Because Jesus, if I did not have Jesus to turn to, that burden of life carries into eternity and gets worse. Without Jesus to allow us to escape that burden, that burden carries into eternity. I would have to deal with the consequences of my life throughout eternity. And if you want to call me an escapist, call me an escapist. You want to call me weak for leaning on the cross? Call me weak for leaning on the cross. You can tell me, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I have my Jesus because he knows. And he's the only one. Trust me, you could be in a crowd of people who love you dearly and still feel alone. But for Jesus, he is the only one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, through what Jesus did for you, lives inside of you and is the only comfort you can have in those moments. Because he's the only one that's inside. The person you love the most is right next to you, who loved you the most. Maybe willing to give their life for you. They can't understand what's inside. But Jesus does. He knows every little intricate detail of your pain. He knows. So when you go to him in prayer, he tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I think it is, that we are to, that he wants us to come to him. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy, my yoke is light. Okay? That's his promise to you. Come to me. I've already dealt with it. You sitting there and mulling over it and worrying about the consequences, he's already dealt with it. He wants you to come to him, lay it at his feet, and let him take it from you. Because the burden is his. He carried it. He paid for it already. He experienced it. Now, there may be some who may listen to this online, on the website or on Facebook or whatever, and they don't know Jesus. They've never come to Christ. There may be somebody in your life who you've been witnessing to, you've been ministering to. They don't know Jesus. They need to know that he knows. He knows their pain just like he knows mine. That person needs to understand that when I place my faith in Christ, in his finished work on the cross, my burdens fall off of me. And we don't know the full meaning of it yet. But trust me, when that day comes, you're going to look back at life and you're going to see all of those things you endured needlessly. And you're going to say, I could have had a V8. Well, I don't like V8, so I wouldn't do it. But you're going to look back on life and you're going to be like, wow, God. And you're going to see all that he's done for you. And you're going to be experiencing that new redeemed body. And you're going to say, so if you're out there in Facebook land or whatever, and you haven't placed your faith in Christ, and you don't know that your sins are forgiven, it's simple. There's no magic prayer. There's no magic words that you can say or do or believe. But if you simply place your faith, that's all the Bible says. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ alone. You believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that you are a sinner. And you ask him to forgive you. In that instant, quicker than any words that can be said, in that instant, you are redeemed. Saved by the blood of Jesus because he paid for your sins. Let's stand. As we go out into the world, I hope that each of us will not only bring the understanding that Jesus knows into bear in our lives, but as we look at the people around us, as we hurt for them, and as we love them, minister to them, and let them know Jesus knows. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we live our lives, that we may bring to bear against every attack, against every stray thought, against every hurt and pain that we may face. May we always know without any doubt that our Jesus knows, that he loves us, and that he knows that pain, that very pain that you're feeling right now, he knows it. May we never forget this. May we bring it to bear in the lives of the people around us. May we have understanding about them. Not to accept sin, but to understand that Jesus died for them and to minister to them. Father, give us the strength. Give us the courage. Give us the words and the wisdom to minister to the people around us with this blessed truth. May your name be glorified. May your glory reach throughout all the world through we, your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.